Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Welcome back, Wisconsin Sports Daily, here on 1250 AM. The Fan, see Sparky Pfeiffer with you. Talking now with our guy, Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette. You, of course, can follow him on Twitter at Pete Doherty. And coming up, we're going to have Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. He'll join us coming up at 3:20. Looking forward to talking to him. So that'd be a little bit more of a national perspective. But from the local perspective, Pete, I will say this. I was shocked by the game plan that I saw from Matt LaFleur in the first half of that game, as far as not only the fact that they were running the football, but they were running the football like they were a college football team with schemes that you would see in college more so than in the pros.
I felt like this probably won't resonate with a lot of people listening, but I felt like I was watching Oklahoma in the 70s,
Right.
I'm not surprised that they, I mean, you knew they were going to run, but just how effectively they ran was it was off the chart. I mean, it's really hard to run the ball in this league when defenses know it's coming and when they know you have some limitations at quarterback. And so that was the stunning thing, was they just rammed it right down their throat.
The other part about it for me is, and I was texting with my dad on Sunday, he's like, man, when you get Jordan Love back with this crown game, watch out. But I was just like, you're never going to see this when Jordan Love comes back. He's not going to ask Jordan Love to throw the ball 15 times a game. They're going to go back to slinging it all over the field. And what you're seeing here with Malik Willis, I think, will be a thing of the past. Am I right on that or no?
Oh, I would think so. I mean, maybe they've learned a couple things about some things they can do in the run game with Jordan Love, mixing up all the formations and motions and all that stuff. But, so maybe that'll remind them that they can do more of that. But, yeah, they're not going to – I mean, even with Willis, they can't run the ball 50 times next week. There's no way. I mean, because, Indianapolis in the second half, in the first half they went regular nickel a lot early. Then right. They started going a lot of base defense, so they got the third linebacker on the field. Even that didn't work so well. And then the second half, they started putting – I mean, I counted times there was 9 guys in the box. So, Tennessee's not going to wait until halftime to make these kind of adjustments. They're going to be ready for this stuff from the start. So I can't imagine the Packers – I mean, they'll try to run the ball a lot, but 50 times, that can't happen, can it?
Gus Bradley is stubborn. He's been stubborn his whole career as a coordinator, and I'm not surprised that he was stubborn once again in this game, because everybody going in that game said they're going to walk everybody up in the box and let Malik Willis prove he can throw it over the top, but not Gus Bradley. Nope, we're going to do it my way, and we'll see how we play. And it ended up costing him, and really, it should have been 17-0 if Josh Jacobs doesn't, fumble that football. And there's been talk, I think, amongst Packer fans, Pete Doherty, as far as, who the more talented runner is between Jones and Jacobs and so forth. But I think you really kind of saw between the second half of Brazil and now this game here, kind of really the whole package of what Josh Jacobs is. And I think as a Packers fan, you kind of have to be excited about it.
He's, he's very good. He's a really good back. He's got good side-to-side movement. He's powerful guy. He's not tall, but he's 220 pounds, so he's got some power. I still think for in any one game, I'd rather have Jones, because he's just so dynamic and that change of direction. I don't know if there's anybody better in the league right now, even at his age, 29 or 30. But for the long haul of the season, I definitely see why they chose to go younger with Jacobs, because he's just probably going to be a lot more durable than Jones. And I mean, Jones, 33 carries. I mean, that's never happening.
No, I don't think that's ever happening either. Anything stand out to you about Malik Willis himself, as far as what we were kind of expecting from Malik Willis getting here from Tennessee, having never thrown a touchdown pass yet in his NFL career? You can check that off the box. I thought he played pretty well. He really didn't make any suspect passes or anything of the sort where you're like, oh, well, that's why he got in trouble in Tennessee. He really played a smart game, I thought.
Yeah, showed a lot of poise, seemed really calm, showed a really strong arm. I mean, he's got, the difference between him and Clifford as far as just arm strength is huge. I mean, he zipped a few of those passes. The one thing with him, you know, he's 6'5". That's pretty short. So I think when if he plays this week, assuming he'll have to throw it more, you know, they'll want to get him. They'll want to do a lot of boots and waggles and all that stuff because he's going to have trouble if he's just playing in the pocket all the time. I think he would have trouble seeing some. But he's definitely, besides being a good runner, I mean, he's not Lamar Jackson, but he's a good runner. And besides that, he does have a strong arm. We saw that even on the limited throws that he had yesterday.
Pete Doherty, the Green Bay Press Gazette, joins us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM. The Fancy Sparky Pfeiffer with you. Have you ever seen or heard of a center puking on a ball and then giving it to his quarterback? Because that was a first for me, from Myers to Willis.
That was a first for a lot of people, LaFleur, but it was a first for him. You know, I didn't notice it live. You know, up in the press box, you just can't see that well. But when they showed the replay on TV, or maybe I just saw it on a replay on Twitter, it was like, oh, wow. Sounds like he wasn't the only one. It was hot, and those old linemen were, that was a rigorous, hard day for them. There was a lot of run blocking. That's a lot of energy there.
Yeah, Jenkins said it happened to him a couple of times. And the funny thing was, Myers said he thought he leaned forward and puked away from the ball. He didn't think he actually got it on the ball until they told him after the game, the reporters did, that it actually ended up on the ball. And that's why Malik Willis didn't throw that pass. He just took it and ran with it. So that was highly entertaining. Defensive side of the ball, Jeff Hafley, week one. We're not going to blitz necessarily. We have a running quarterback. So we're going to just play base and see what we can get up front with pressure. Same exact thing happened, I think, again this weekend against Indianapolis until the end of the game, maybe more towards the fourth quarter. Maybe the pressure started to pick up. I literally had to look and see if Rashawn Gary was inactive in that game. And I went back and I was watching it this morning. It wasn't like he was getting double teamed. He just couldn't beat anybody.
Yeah, the thing with these last two games, these are two of the, what, three, I think, best running quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah.
And they're real runners. You play these guys, you really do have to just stay in your rush lane. So everybody's bull rushing, and the emphasis is on keeping the guy in the pocket over putting pressure on him. Because if you try to go wide and you get pushed past even a little bit, then you open up the side door and you get killed that way. If the ends try to do too hard of an inside rush, same thing, he can leak out the side. Same with the D tackles. You know, you have to cover up all those rush lanes. And so that takes some of the juice, you know, out of the rush. Now, they played games against running quarterbacks in the past where, you know, that's basically been the rules, but they've still gotten more pressure than they have the last 2 weeks. But I still think that plays, you know, a pretty big part in how ineffective their rush looked. Because if you just watch them, it looks like the guy's stuck on the blocker. But actually, you know, that's kind of what he's supposed to do, because they can't let that guy – they were not going to let that guy beat them with his legs.
Yeah, you're trying to contain from the outside, which makes sense, I guess. Pay that guy all that money, though, you kind of hope he gets home to the quarterback at some point.
Yeah, a little surprising he still didn't just win one or two of those bull rushes and just, you know, knock the guy back and right in the quarterback's face.
Devontae White got a sack, which was the only sack for the Packers in that game, on the defensive line. Then you go to the linebackers, and I think Eric Wilson was the MVP of the linebackers yesterday for sure.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned, and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Well, the interception was big. You know, I'm still of the opinion, I mean, he had really good coverage on that play, okay? I mean, that's, he did exactly what you're supposed to do. He was right there on the guy. But it was a really bad decision because he wasn't, I mean, the ball, he threw it right to Wilson because Wilson had the inside leverage and it was a slant. So it was a really bad decision by Richardson. I'm still of the opinion they need to get one of those two young guys out there in place of Wilson. But he did make a huge play on that play. And then I think there was a run play. I remember, I think it was a run play or maybe a swing pass where he made a really nice play. But I still think they need to get, in the base defense, they need to get one of those two rookies out there in his place. They'll just be, you know, he's more assignment sure right now, but they'll be a better team in December and January because those younger guys are just, you know, more talented.
Seeing several Packer fans, Pete Doherty today, saying they're done with Quay Walker. They're done. They've had enough, which seems a little early for me, but I think the one thing that everybody thought coming into this was, can Jeff Hafley get the most out of Quay Walker? Can he get the best version of Quay Walker where he's playing downhill, attacking, blitzing, getting after the quarterback, filling running lanes, and that type of stuff? And to this point, we just haven't seen it. He had a chance for an interception. He dropped it late in that game. Is this a issue with scheme? Is this Quay Walker's maybe not as good as the Packers thought? How do you look at it?
I still think they got him in the wrong position. You know, they're playing him at middle linebacker. And, you know, I understand why, because, you know, in that defense, you want a middle linebacker who can really drop deep fast in your zone coverages. And with his speed and the height and length, that makes him a tough guy to throw over. But the problem is you're so vulnerable to runs right at him. He's good. You know, when they run to the edge, he's pretty good, you know, because he can outrace guys to get there. But the runs between the tackles, it's there are problems there. And I just think they need to play him at the weak side linebacker. And then if you want, you know, move him inside on, you know, third and eight, then put him in there, you know, third, real more obvious passing down. So I personally think it's just they're playing him in the wrong position. I think one of the reasons they do it is he's calling the plays and they don't want him coming out. They know he's not going to come off the field. But I don't see why they can't flip-flop those two positions. They're not that different, and especially if they stick with McDuffie, you know, that's two veteran guys.
Yeah, that would make sense. I love Edgerrin Cooper, and I want to see what Hopper does as well, their other draft pick, kind of going forward and kind of go from there. That secondary for the Green Bay Packers, you know, he spent all that money on Xavier McKinney, two games, two interceptions, and helping to line people up back there in the secondary. You see him communicating all the time pre-snap, trying to get guys set up outside of whatever Quay Walker is doing up there in the front seven. I think he's been worth every penny you've spent on him so far.
Yeah, agree completely. I mean, he's not a mega talent, you know. I mean, he's not a Hall of Famer or anything like that, but he's a very good player. And you're right, you can see him out there directing traffic all the time. You can tell he's a smart guy. You can tell by the way the other guys interact with him that they look at him as the leader back there. And, you know, yeah, I mean, a couple interceptions in a couple games, that's pretty good. He cost a lot of money, but they are so much better on the back end at safety than they were last year. In the long run of the season, it's really hard not to think that's going to make a difference.
Yeah, Bullard, Evan Williams getting a little bit more playing time there. Williams got that pick at the end, the last throw, but impressed with both of them as well. Let's talk about the kicker real quick here before we wrap this up with Narvison. This is going to be like Carlson last year, where every week we're going to go through either a mixed extra point or a missed field goal every week. Like, we're just not going to have many weeks where the kicker is going to be perfect.
That makes you wonder, doesn't it? You know, if nothing else, they're going to be holding their breath every time he's, you know, kicking from the 40 yarder or more. You know, I've, you wonder how long, you know, how long the leash will be. and how patient they'll be. The guy does seem to have some ability. I think he's got a little stronger leg than Carlson had. They don't want to keep swapping out kickers. That's the worst place to be, is to do that multiple times in a season. That's just, that merry-go-round is a horrible place to be. Let's see. I guess we'll see where we're sitting in a few weeks. But, if we saw last year, with that game in San Francisco in the playoffs, somewhere along the road, the missed kicks are going to hurt you.
This Titans game coming up, I think this is going to be tougher, mainly because the defense is so much better for Tennessee than Indianapolis. But like Anthony Richardson, Will Levis is going to give this defense chances to turn it over and get this Packers team on short fields. What do you see happening coming up here next weekend?
Yeah, I'll be really curious to see. There's been a couple reports today that, Love actually was in the running for playing this week or last week.
Ah.
I don't buy it either, but that's, it was done by credible local people. So, maybe there's something to it in that, he's got a real chance to play this week. I would think they would want to wait until he's fully, much closer to fully healthy before they would put him out there. But assuming Willis plays, winnable game, especially based on how they played yesterday. Tougher, like you say, on the road. They also know Willis well.
And he knows them.
That'll give them. Yeah, he knows them, so maybe that'll be a horse apiece. But then they've got a game tape to go off of now, and they know what the Packers want to do. So this will really, if yesterday tested LaFleur's creativity and game planning, this will do so even more. But you're right, Will Levis, he's been kind of a semi-disaster so far this season. So, the Packers have to hope that continues for at least another week. To come out, let's say Willis plays two games, to come out of it 1-1, I'd call that, I'd call that a nice win for the Packers to go 1-1 with your backup. 2-0 would be a grand slam.
I just look at Jordan Love and go, look, dude, we won with them last week. Now he gets to go back and get a little revenge on the team that just traded him. I can get you 1 week healthier to make sure you're good for a division matchup, a team that's in first place in the Vikings in 2 weeks. We're going to wait on you, and you can play against the Vikings. I'm going to let this kid try and go get some revenge against the Titans and see what we can do. That would be my pitch to Jordan Love.
Yeah, you know how these guys are, though. They hate to miss. If he actually is feeling like he can play, then I'm sure he'll push really hard to play, and then it'll be up to the medical staff to decide just how great the risk of re-injury or how much it'll affect his performance. But we'll see. I'm sure it'll be the gamesmanship all week. The big thing will be to watch whether if he takes any reps in practice. Then I would say
he's playing.
Even if it's limited, maybe he does have a real chance. Yeah. If he's not taking any snaps, then, Willis played well enough. I would think they would just, they'd go that way.
Yeah, I agree with you. He is Pete Doherty, one of the best. Green Bay Press Gazette. Follow him on Twitter at Pete Doherty. Pete, thanks so much for coming on, buddy. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me, Sparky.
You betcha. Take care. There he is. Pete Doherty, the Green Bay Press Gazette here on Wisconsin Sports Daily. Served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM. The Fan. Don't forget, still to come next hour, 3:20. We will talk with Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, here on The Fan.